Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Steve. I'm the youth pastor here. And today I have the privilege of preaching our next message in our series. If you don't know the series that we've been in, it's called Living Whole. Now, Pastor Greg put this all together before he left on sabbatical. Again, if you don't know who he is because you're new with us, Pastor Greg is our senior pastor. And he's wrapping up his sabbatical. He'll be back with us, I believe, December 10th. Is that when it is? December 10th. It's coming quick. Have you guys missed him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm just saying, Pastor Greg watches at least my messages. He reviews it with me and goes over it. So I know he's going to watch this part. So let's just maybe cut that out. Let's try again. Have you missed Pastor Greg?
Yes.
There we go. All right. Let's sneak that one in there. I want to share with you real quick what he wrote to each of the speakers leading up to these messages. So to share what he was thinking about with this message or this series of Living Whole, he said that in the style of Paul's letters to the churches he loves, frequently he will conclude letters with a bulleted list of behaviors to follow. This fall, as we are in, we will attempt to do the same thing as we finish the year pursuing wholeness. Now, I want you to think about this, and I'm going to just go through this quickly as I enter into the message here. This is the thought process of the things that are important for us to remember as a church, to live whole. If you want to be whole, never forget to practice these things with fervor and earnest devotion. These are Pastor Greg's words. I don't speak like that. Remember who you are and whom you belong to. Be confident of the grace you have been given. Stop living such a hectic lifestyle. Take time to listen to me. If you love me, you will obey me. Remember who your enemy really is. Endure everything in life and consider each trial an opportunity to grow. Above all, love one another as I have loved you. And finally, remember there is an eternal kingdom waiting for you. Press on. Living whole. We've talked about a lot of concepts that are so crucial to living whole. We need to be fully known of who we are. We need to be living in our true identity. We need to know how to listen to God. We need to know who our enemy really is. It's not our flesh and blood. It's not people around us. We need to know how to battle in spiritual warfare. Pastor Sean did a great job with that message last week, and he actually started to creep into my lane with my message. Thank you, Pastor Sean. I appreciate that so much because he helped give a clear understanding of what this is all about. Isaac read this passage, and I want to read it once more just to get us prepared. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like a glutton for punishment. Bring it on. Let me have more. Can I have another, sir? But that's not what James was talking about. He wasn't talking about looking and saying, yes, I love it when I'm getting beaten down. I love this thing in my life that's hurting so much. I love that loss of a friend. No, but we consider it pure joy because we know what it's doing for us. Today, we're going to look at the concept of enduring testing because it does something in us. It produces maturity. See, oftentimes in life, we see testing and trials as an unwelcome guest. Annoying, inconvenient, unwanted, something we absolutely want to avoid. But today I'd like to present the thought that testing and trials are an invitation to draw closer to Jesus, to step into truth, and be set free to live whole. See, living whole requires us to embrace and endure testing and trials and becoming mature and lacking nothing. I'll say that again. Living whole requires us to embrace and endure testing and trials, becoming mature and lacking nothing. So if that's what testing and trials do, let's look at what testing and trials are. So what is testing and trials? Testing is not the consequence of my behavior or my patterns. I got fired from my job. Well, that could be a test, But let's look at why you got fired from your job. I was late 10 times in a row. I mouthed off to my boss, sorry, you got fired, because that's a consequence for your behavior. I got a ticket today. Well, let's look at why you got a ticket. It's not because you're being tested. It's because you're driving 80 in a 45. Now, testing is not the means for God to catch us in the act. See, sometimes we think that if we have a wrong perspective of God, we think that we're being tested so that he can look around the corner and catch us in that moment when we don't do what he wants us to do. When we blow up and we freak out, is he waiting there to see that? No, he's a good, loving father. He's not looking to catch us in the act, but he allows this testing to mature us. Testing and trials and temptations, the Bible uses these words synonymously. Testing and trials are also equal to temptations in our life. They're circumstances of life, sometimes caused by God, but always allowed by God. They're not a result of our actions. Now, see, testing is not every single difficult situation in your life. Sometimes difficulty is just part of life. But the trial does come in the hard times. See, not always is the trial the hard thing that you're dealing with, but what starts to happen internally in your mind. The thoughts, the disbelief, the temptation to kind of try to do it my way. There's different kinds of testing. We can look in the Bible and find internal testing. The desires, the thoughts, the feelings, that's the temptation side of things. The lies that start to come, and what are we going to believe? The external trials of life. Situations, sickness, death, storms that come to us, loss of loved ones, conflict between one another, conflict and war, as Pastor Sean was praying for. And then there's individual testing. It just happens to me. It's my thing that I'm dealing with. Although, do you ever really deal with it alone? And then there's communal testing. The Israelites went through the desert, went into the wilderness, and they were tested together. See, every trial or temptation is allowed by God. The devil never does anything that God doesn't allow. It doesn't mean God does them to you, but he does allow them to happen. And if he allows them to happen, that means that he has good to come out of it. God gives good. He is good. So whatever he allows, there will be good coming out of it. It doesn't mean that the situation that you deal with is great. It doesn't mean that you like it. It doesn't mean that it's good in the moment. There's sin in the world, but the trial and the temptation, God will take it and produce something good out of it. Testing and trials often come after a time of great spiritual strengthening. Have you ever had a Kairos moment, a God moment, a moment where you've been with God, you've experienced his goodness, you've heard from him? I like to tell this to the students all the time. Whenever we go on a youth retreat, I see great things happen in their life. I see truth that sets them free. I see chains broken. And then we sit around and we talk as we're getting ready to leave, to go back down the mountain, to drive back up somewhere, and we're talking. And one of the things I tell them is, don't let the enemy steal what God has done. See, it's the testing and trials come right after those times of strengthening. Have you ever had that moment where you've had a time with God in a service and you feel changed, you feel transformed, you have truth, you're confident, you're ready to go? And then on the drive home, your spouse maybe says something to you that you didn't like. Just a little thing, and you're like, oh, what? And kind of rubs you the wrong way. You make it home and your kids start acting up and chaos starts to unleash in the house. Maybe you're on your way home and you get in a car accident. Or you get to the end of the month and you look at the bills that you have left and you don't have enough finances to make it through. The trials start to come and pile up and they question your true belief of God. Prepping for this message, I've known about this for a while, and I've been so excited. I've been just connecting with God in this concept of of trials, of testing, and excited about it. And then 2 weeks ago, I went on a trip. I went hunting out in Wisconsin for my birthday, for vacation. I got to go alone. Big deal when you have a newborn in the house. My wife was great and said, go. And so I went, and I had this time out in the woods. I didn't get anything. There's stories there if you want to know later. I was hunting deer, but that's not the message today. But while I was out there, there was a lot of refreshing time. I mean, I'm sitting in a tree stand talking to God, so it's time of refreshing. And then I came back. I flew back on a Wednesday, and we have our Wednesday service. So I came straight from the airport. I dropped stuff off at home, came here, and I preached that night. And then 2 days later, we got in cars, and we drove off to Sacramento for youth convention. God did some amazing things at youth convention. I watched kids that were excited to go and just worship God, to enter into his presence and to hear truth, to see transformation in their lives. I watched kids that were nervous and apprehensive who bolted toward the front to just go and spend time with the Lord. I was encouraged. I was so excited. And then Monday happened. Oh, Mondays. I started prepping and getting finalized with my sermon. And my oldest, Hunter, he got sick. He had some congestion. He wasn't like horribly sick, but here's the deal. Like, when you're a parent, right, you don't send your kid to school, especially after COVID, if they're even like a little cough, just trying to cough a bug out of their throat, because you're going to be looked at, scorned, right? You just don't send them. So I kept him home. And we kept him home for the next couple days. Now, I had to stay home. Faith went to work, and so I stayed home. And I watched Thea, my youngest, my newborn, and I stayed home with Hunter. And I was like, okay, it's fine. Hunter's going to sleep. Thea's going to sleep. I'm going to prepare with God. It's going to be good. Nope. There was no time in there. It was just chaotic. And see, then Faith got sick. Wednesday rolls around. Faith gets sick. And I went home and I picked up Thea, brought her here with me. And I'm like, okay, she'll sleep while I'm working on my message for Sunday. It's going to be good. God, fine. We'll deal with it. We'll keep going through this trial right now. Nope. Thea was so fussy. She needed attention. There was things that still had to be done on a Wednesday night. I had Owen here. And my life just got crazy. And then Thursday rolls around. And I'm looking going, God, I got a couple more days. I know you gave me content, but this is not like pieced together yet. What is going on? And see, I don't mean to make light of trials. I know that some of you have been through some really hard trials. But isn't that kind of what we do? We kind of compare and go, oh, well, my trial's worse than yours. My trial's worse. The busyness of my life actually wasn't even the trial. It was just life. They got sick. But see, there was testing and trial that came in. It was when I was faced with questions and when I started to get faced with fear, when I started to get faced with doubts. I'm a pastor. I got to preach on Sunday no matter what. If I don't bring this, what's going to happen? How is this going to get? Is it going to affect people? Is it going to bring? And I started focusing on me, and the tests were coming. The accuser, the deceiver was throwing those lies out. You're not enough. You're not going to do this. No one's going to get this. And then I started to question, will I still have joy in this moment? Will I have patience? Am I firm in my identity? Identity. Jesus, when he received his identity, here's what he did. He was also tested. When he knew the truth, he went into a time of testing. Remember Matthew chapter 3? Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and then this audible voice from heaven says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." He was given identity and affirmation from the Father. He was told who he was in front of everyone and given that love. And then, in the very next chapter right there, we see in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Was he led by Satan? No. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. Now, this is an important point Because God allowed him to be tested after he received identity. He knew, I've given you this, now let's go and let's see what happens here. But Jesus, he endured testing with the truth. See, we often blame the enemy and say, oh, I'm being tested, I'm being tortured and tempted and thrown all these things by the enemy. Yes, you might be tempted by the enemy. The enemy might be throwing these lies towards you. But we need to stop and remember that God is allowing it. Why do we focus so much of our time and attention on what the enemy is doing to us instead of thinking and remembering God is allowing this, and he knows me and he loves me. And if he's going to allow this, it's because he knows I can get through this. Now see, Jesus endured testing with the truth because he knew the truth, he believed the truth, and he proclaimed the truth. Why? Why do we need testing in our life? Why can't God just make it simple? Why can't we just go through life with everything working well? What does it do for us? What does testing do? Let's look at a couple things. The first thing that testing does, testing affirms and strengthens us. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 4, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Testing affirms what we already are and what we know, and it grows us and strengthens us more. Every time you go through testing, it strengthens you. When you go to the gym and you work out and you push yourself harder, you grow muscle, you build endurance, you build a callus, you build strength, you are stronger than you were before. But testing doesn't just strengthen us, testing also reveals us. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Again, who led them? God. To humble and test you. Led them through a test. To humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. See, trials reveal what we actually believe. They reveal what's already inside of us. Trials can reveal areas of fear, doubt, guilt, or shame, but they can also reveal areas of peace, joy, and all the other fruits of the Spirit, right? See, this is what happens. In times of testing, it's like a fruit that you take. Like if you took an orange and you squeezed and pressed it, what's going to come out of it? I sure hope it's orange juice. Otherwise, you got the wrong thing. Take it back to the store, right? When we get squeezed, what's going to come out of us? Whatever is inside of us, whatever we've been filled with. The fruits of the Spirit aren't something we create inside of us. It's what's produced from the Spirit of God in us. And it's proven in times of trials, whether it's things that you're dealing with or it's the things that are going on inside of you. Students don't take a test having no exposure to the content. They learn, they comprehend, and they apply the lessons. Then they take the test. That reveals how much they've matured in the content. See, God's not cruel. He's a good and perfect God. He's given us everything we need to make it through times of testing. We just need to know the truth. Testing also reveals if we're connected or disconnected with God's identity, our identity, and the identity of others. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13. It says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. In times of trials, what's revealed in us is who we really think God is or what we know about him. In times of trials, we really learn who we are, what we think about ourselves, and what we think about other people. When God affirms truth, the enemy will try to put a sour taste in your mouth to get you to forget or give up. The enemy wants to hijack your identity. Questions start to come up. What do I think about myself? What do I think I really deserve in this moment? Look at all this that I'm dealing with. Look at this trial in my life. I don't deserve this. Are you sure? Or maybe I do deserve this. I'm horrible and I deserve all the punishment. Really? Questions come up. Am I afraid? What am I afraid of? Am I mad at God? Why does he do this to me? Is he doing this to you? Or is this life and he's allowing it to produce a good work in you? Do I see others as my enemy? See, the problem in that parable, the issue that Jesus was bringing up is that there was no root that had taken ground. The seed was thrown out and scattered out there, but as trials came, there was no root to take it deeper. The questions came, but they didn't take root. See, the enemy wanted me to question my identity and purpose this past week. The enemy wanted me to question who I really was. God's spoken to me and given me real clear identity over time. He's called me his navigator of truth. He's told me that I am someone that navigates people and situations in truth, in the middle of a storm. That's who he says I am. I'm not the captain. I don't decide where we're going. God does. I'm just the navigator. I go, okay, well, here's the route that we're going to go because God's told me where to get to. The enemy wanted to hijack this weekend. Here I am working on a message about enduring testing, and I'm being slammed with testing of my own. Not externally, the sickness, I get it. It's just sickness. But it was the fear, the anxiousness that it was causing. I was getting stressed. If you ask my family, it was not a proud moment of mine. I know there's a lot of them, but this was not one of them. And it was hard. I was questioning myself. Instead of standing firm as a navigator of truth, I was questioning if I was going to speak anything at all. I was questioning if anything that I was going to say was going to come out clear. I started to feel fearful. I'd ask all the what ifs. What if I show up and this goes wrong? I'd have these dreams where I was stressing out, and it was crazy. And see, it's in these moments that are actually an opportunity to give territory to the enemy or cement our foundation in Christ and in his truth. In moments of trial, in moments where we are thrown with the temptation to buy into the lie, or stand firm on the truth, it's an opportunity to either take hold of that lie or plant our feet deep in the truth of God. So how do we endure testing? There's four different things that I want to share today as we get ready to wrap up fairly soon. None of them are in a specific order. I realized as I wrote through this, the second one is actually the first one, but let's go through them. The first one is know who you are and who you're not. How do I endure trials? Knowing who I am and who I'm not. Know who you are in God. I am a child of God. I'm not a mistake. I'm loved. I'm wanted. I'm not alone. When you go through trials, know that you're not alone. Know that you are his child. And just like any good father cares for his child, you're going to be taken care of. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be great along the way, but you're going to be taken care of. I took Hunter into the doctor this week, not for the sickness, but because he tripped and bumped his nose and we thought it was broken. It was pretty crazy, so that's a different story. But he also has this wart on his finger. Like, this kid's just going, talk about trials, man. So he's got this wart on his finger that he's had for a while, and we've been taking him in and getting it frozen every so often, thinking that was the last. Well, this last time we're driving in, and he's like, Dad, we're just going to see the doctor for my nose, right? I'm like, yeah, that's it, buddy. And he's like, not my finger, right? Yeah, yeah, that's it. Just your nose. Well, at the end of the thing, doctor looks at his finger and she's like, oh, we could freeze it off right now. I'm like, we probably should. So I said yes, because he had been complaining about it, but he was not ready for today. And so he's freaking out. And I say yes because I know that it's going to be good for him. Because this thing has been bugging him. It's been hurting him. And in the moment, the pain that's going to come from the freezing of it, yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt real bad. But what it's going to do on the other end, it's going to be good for him. Not just the freezing or removing the wart, but he's going to learn that I'm with him in this. Now, yes, I kind of tricked him through the doctor thing, but I'm with him through the whole process, because as he's going and getting this thing frozen off and screaming and saying it hurts, I'm holding him. And I'm saying, I'm right here with you, buddy. It's okay. You're going to make it through this. And at the end of that visit, we get through it, and he looks at me and he says, Dad, I know that was a good thing, and I know that you're good. So he tells me that. He reminds me that. And see, he knows, because he knows whose child he is. Know who you are. You are a child of God. When you go through testing, you're not going through a test as just some random person's child. You're going through a test as a child of God, and he is with you. Second way that we endure, the first and foremost way, is to know who Jesus is and who he isn't. The Lord is my shepherd. He will never leave me or forsake me. He is with me in the trials. He is our God. Our God. He's not some other God out there. He's ours. He's mine. He's yours. He's victory, as we sang today. I was thinking about that word as we were singing. His name is victory. He conquers every single thing that life throws at us. In the middle of it, the trials, he meets us on the other side. He brings us through the other side. Death, what is death to him? He beat death. Sin, nope. He is victory. He's our king. He's our provider. When you go through a trial and you don't feel equipped, he provides everything. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not sometimes, always with us. He is with us in the trial. The third thing we do to endure is we abide in Christ. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You don't get strong in the middle of a test. You don't get strong when you're going to the gym and you're trying to PR a new thing at the bench. That means personal record. You don't go in there and try to lift everything you can after never doing it. You strengthen every single day. You start in the quiet place with God. Abiding is not something you do just when you go into a storm. Abiding is something that's constant. It's in the quiet times. It's in the mundane. It's in the times when there's no trial in your life. There's nothing looking out on the horizon. You spend time with him. You listen to him. You remain in him. Because he is the one. He's the one that does things. If you try to endure trials on your own, you don't come out on the other side perfect and lacking nothing. You come out beaten, bruised, fearful, and untrusting of situations and people. But when you step into trials and tribulations, when you step into hardships, when you're faced with temptation, abiding in Christ, hearing his voice saying, I won't leave you, you have enough, you are enough, you're my child. You're perfect in my eyes. You come out of that trial aware of the truth, knowing who you are in Christ. You come out mature, not lacking anything. See, you were never meant to do it on your own. You're never meant to go through trials and just figure it out. That's not what God's doing. It's not like showing up to school the first day and now you've got the whole final exam, good luck. No. God is with you. Don't show up and it's just like showing up and your teacher says, hey, you can have the answer sheet with you, bring it, and you're like, I'm good, I got this. No, bring God along. Actually, follow God. Oh, there's something there for later. The last thing, enduring community. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We're not meant to endure alone. We're meant to endure together. You don't show up, again, I use these gym analogies. You show up to the gym, and if I was just, you know, working out and trying to bench press something light, okay, yeah, I could do that. But if I'm going to really test myself, if I'm going to go and throw on a couple plates and I'm going to really push myself, if I'm going to try to do something I haven't done before, if I'm going to go into a situation that seems a little unknown, I'm going to bring a spotter. I'm going to bring the person that's going to stand there and make sure that this thing doesn't drop on me. I'm going to bring the person that's going to encourage me. I'm going to bring the person that's going to be like, you can do this. Not the person that's like, I don't know, we should probably call the ambulance now. You're meant to endure in community. You need others to sharpen you, to care for you, to watch your back, to check in on you, and to be that for others. That's why we have a community here, to build one another up in every single way, all the time. But how do I consider it all joy when I have trials that I face? Some of these things are really hard. Some of you have gone through some really hard trials. Some of you are going through some hard trials. All of us are going to be going through hard trials. In those moments, it's important to remember that testing develops maturity and perseverance in us. Perseverance in testing produces maturity. Another word for maturity, perfection, wholeness, growth, lacking nothing. See, I don't think it's so much that you've become equipped once you go through the test. When you lack nothing on the other side, it's not because you've become more equipped, but rather that you've become more aware of the truth, that you weren't lacking anything to begin with. Going through the test reveals the truth that we aren't lacking because we have a God who is our provider, who's faithful, who's good, who gives us everything we need in every situation. Not everything we want, but everything we need. So this week was a trial for sure. I was faced with many opportunities to turn over the truth for the lie from the enemy. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Some of those moments, I handed the truth right off to the enemy. I dealt with moments where I was struggling. But as I got to the wrap-up of my prep last night, I was running through my message one last time. I had done this work. My concept is always put in the work, and God's going to do what he's going to do the day of. I was running through it one last time, and Saturday night, God spoke to me. Everyone had finally gone to bed except for Thea, my newborn. She's crying, waking up every 10 minutes. So I'm working, getting a flow going, just kind of moving stuff around on my message and going, okay, this is what works here. Yep, this worked. This is good. And I'm hearing her cry. I got to get up, go back and forth. I'm like, oh my goodness, God, why? How am I going to do this? It was in this moment that he reminded me that I'm his navigator of truth. And as one, he will come through because he's called me to be that. If he's called you to be or do something, he will always come through for you. See, I had an altar call moment right there in my living room. I repented. I changed my false thought pattern. I handed it over to God. I said, God, what am I doing? I'm about to preach a message tomorrow about trials. And all week, I've been offered this opportunity to walk through a trial with you, faced with these challenges, and yet instead, I've just ignored it, and I've just sat there moping. From then on, as I called out the truth, as I claimed what was really going on, I heard God speak. Every moment of feeling inconvenienced as Thea woke up and cried was a reminder to say thank you, God, for what you're producing in me. Every moment of feeling stress was an opportunity to say, God, it's not my burden. I give it to you. Every worry, every fearful moment was an opportunity to say, God, you are with me. There's no room for fear. I turned it right to God with honesty, and I embraced the truth. I lack nothing, for he is with me. I want to wrap up with this passage of scripture, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He's your shepherd. He's with you. He is guiding you. He is watching over you, and he's providing for you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So far as we read this, that sounds great, right? He's with me. He's taking care of me. He's even let me sleep, you know, in this nice green pasture. I'm right there with the nice chill water. I don't even have to pay the extra thing on my phone to hear the quiet water sound effect. But then we get to this next part. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I'm faced in trials, even though my life is flipped upside down right now, even though I'm being slammed with every lie from the enemy, even though I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the week, even though I feel sad right now, confused, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let that be our prayer this morning. As we walk through these trials, as we walk through and we face these situations, remember who's leading you. It says he guides me along the right paths. Right before that, he guides me. God's the one that guided you, and he knew what trial you were going to face. It's not a surprise. He's not, whoa, where did that come from? No, he knew it was coming. And he's with you in it. And he's been preparing you all along the way. He's been speaking truth to you. He's been taking care of you. He's been refreshing your soul in the quiet times, in the places of rest, so that when you face the trials, you don't have to fear. You've got a God who beats death. Is it going to hurt? Yeah, probably. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, absolutely. But you don't have to fear. The deeper you go through the darkest valley, the less you have to fear on the other side. The more complete your faith and your confidence in Christ is. See, Psalm 23 talks about the good shepherd walking with him, abiding in him, being loved by him, letting him just love you. See, we go through these moments and we, in a time of being unprepared, we just face the trial and we're like, how do I get through this? But what if you beforehand let God just love you? Like we focus a lot about, okay, God, I'm going to come and love you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to do this. But have you ever just stopped and said, God, I'm going to let you love me? I know that sounds conceited, but that's what God wants to do. He wants to love you. He wants to build you up. He wants to pour into you because he's your provider. He's your shepherd. He's with you every step of the way. See this beautiful picture that this psalm paints. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us through it. And if he's leading, it's going to be good. It's not going to be fun, but it's going to be good. He won't leave us. As we endure trials and hardships, as we go through them, it's not on our own strength that we do this. It's only in the context of humbling ourselves to the truth of who we are in Christ. So as we go through trials with Christ, this is what happens. You come out mature, lacking nothing on the other side. But remember, it's not because you become more equipped and you got this infantry inside of you now. No, it's because you realize your focus and your understanding is, I lack nothing because who I'm connected to. So I can face any trial. Remember, every trial is an invitation to draw closer to Jesus, to step into his truth and be set free to live whole. So I want to wrap up this time, and I'd like to ask you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to do that for no other reason but just so that you can have your own space with God. Today, as I've been talking, some of you are sitting here saying, yeah, I've been through some really hard trials. Or I'm in the middle of the worst trial of my life. I'm in the worst testing season ever. Are you able to consider it joy? I want you to think for a moment. And I want you to just ask God, God, where are you in my trials? See, so often we look and we let the trial, we let the circumstances of life become so big and so loud that we don't even recognize that God is right there with us. I want you to think about a trial, whether it's something you're going through now or something that you've been through in the past. Just take a moment. Think about something that you have been dealing with, are dealing with, have dealt with. And I want you to ask Jesus, where were you? Where are you in this trial? What do you say about me during this time? And let him speak to you. Let him love you. Let him minister to you. Let him set you free. Whatever trials he allows, it's going to produce a good work in you if you abide in him. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for the trials of my life. I thank you for the hardships. I thank you for the times of testing. They're not easy, but I welcome them knowing what you are producing on the other side. I pray, Lord, today for every one of us in this room, everyone listening online, I pray that you would remind us of the truth in the moments of trial. That you would remind us of your truth when we face these hardships. That we lack nothing. That we don't need to fear because you are with us. That you have called us yours. And that you are ours. That you love us. I pray that we would endure in community together. I pray that we would not just be a church that says that we're for each other, that we would actually be for each other. Centered around you, because you are the good shepherd. I pray for your truth to speak loud and clear, and I pray against the lies of the enemy. Even now, as we get ready to leave this place, I know there's going to be trials. I know there's going to be things that are going to blare in our face. And I pray Lord, that you would silence them and that your truth would reign supreme. I thank you, Lord, for your truth. We lack nothing because you are the good shepherd. Thank you for that. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve. At this time, I'd just like to ask the elders if you would meet me here on stage, or not on stage, but on the left and right. I want to encourage you, if in that moment maybe God's spoken to you about just an area of a trust or a life where you've got to remind yourself of who he is, that he is our loving Father who will never leave us, never forsake us. I want to invite you just to stay, allow yourself just to dwell with him. So we don't want to send you out and say, okay, go for it. We want to make sure that before you go out of here, that you have an opportunity to allow the Lord just to speak to you into your life. It's a great opportunity just to ask him questions. And so I want to encourage you to do so. But maybe it's hard to know what to ask or what to pray through, and that's why we have the elders up here. They would love to pray with you, maybe to have an opportunity to pray with you about something. Maybe you need to know who this wonderful, loving God is. We want to encourage you to do so. Please come talk to an elder, talk with Pastor Steve, any one of us. But I'm just going to continue to play, and if this is a time for you just to press in, please do. If you'd like to just, you can say, okay, I think I've heard from the Lord. That's great. Hallelujah. Just, if you would, take your conversation outside. Allow this place to be a place of prayer just for the next few moments. And I'll excuse the service officially in a couple moments, but you're free to go now if you'd like. But I just want to encourage you, give yourself a time right now just to spend with the Lord and seek him. your name. Oh, your name is victory. Oh, praise will rise to Christ the King. It's in your name. It's in your name. For there's victory. Oh, praise will rise to Christ our King. Thank you, Lord God, that is in your name, Jesus, where there is victory. Forgive us, Lord, when we have chosen to believe the lies of Satan as we go through these trials. That we get beaten down and we forget who we are, who you are. Keep us, Father, on the right path. May we be so bold to step out of the boat, just like Peter did, to believe in the impossible, to know, Lord, that you have us, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, that we can trust in you because you are faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's in your name that there is victory. In your name, we can praise you. Because you have us. May you be glorified, God, as we go today. As we go from this place, I pray, Lord, that we would declare the praises of you. And we would know for certain that you are Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.